You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur with another episode of Innovation for Alpha. And I'm joined today by an entrepreneur who's got a great startup. They presented at Pitch Club not long ago called ScriptChain. Mo Nori, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to get to know you a little bit more. I didn't get to interact with you around the Pitch Club event. I saw the event, obviously, and was really interested in the company. So I'm glad to get you on the show. Why don't we start with just a bit of a background of you personally, and then we'll jump into how the company came to be.
Definitely. So my name is Mo Nori. Obviously, I'm the founder and CEO of ScriptChain Health, a digital health startup that uses artificial intelligence for cardiovascular disease and readmission prevention by optimizing the point of care at the time of admission. My background is in sales and technology. So I've worked for companies such as Intuit and Qtera. My undergrad is in information systems and business, and I received my MBA from Boston College, concentration in data analytics.
That's awesome. And you mentioned earlier you have migrated over to the Bay Area. Tell us a little bit about that. What precipitated that?
Migrated over to the Bay Area from Boston. The reason why I came out to the Bay is because Silicon Valley is over here. We are currently raising capital, so it's a lot easier to talk to investors face-to-face versus cold calling and cold emailing all day.
You're definitely playing in the deep pools there. Did you end up in the city or down on the peninsula somewhere, or where did you set up base?
So right now we're in the East Bay.
Okay.
So not too far away.
Great. Talk a little bit about the company. And so going from a sales background, how did you, come across this opportunity and what made you jump in?
Of course. So actually, the issue started back when I was a little baby. As I was growing up, actually, when I was born, my mom had two kids back to back within 11 months. So it was very challenging for my mom to, take care of two kids at a very early stage in her life and in ours. So my grandmother had to step in and really help take care of me. That really built a very strong bond between my grandmother and I. But over the years, as I was growing up, I started to see that my grandmother's health started to slowly deteriorate over the years. I saw that the medication that she was taking started to increase, and her health, it got to a point where she needed assistance with walking because she felt so weak at one point. I remember back in 1999, I was waking up to get ready for school that we received a phone call from my uncle stating that my grandma had passed away due to heart failure. When that happened, I was a grandma's boy and I'm very proud of it. But my heart dropped faster than it ever has in my entire life. I got very emotional. I broke down and everything like that. But I remember I was asking myself that why weren't the doctors able to, intervene or even catch this at a very early age to intervene at a very early stage. And fast forward to me getting into B school at Boston College, I thought about the issue again. And I started to do a lot more market research about the issue. I found out that the number one cause of death in the United States is actually chronic heart failure. It equates to over, 700,000 deaths a year. And that integer is growing annually, by the way. So there's a very large market there. Then I look for possible solutions because of technology is advancing very quickly. Artificial intelligence is a very strong solution to it. There is so much medical data stored within the EHR system, and I think that we're now at a time and place where we can actively use that data to get into preventive care, which really falls under value-based care in medicine.
Why don't you expand a little bit on the AI element to it? As you mentioned, we have access to a lot more information. What are some examples of information that the system might extract out of the EHR to help make better decisions or help guide physicians in their process?
Of course. I mean, EHR systems are very robust systems. I mean, Epic, Cerner, Athena Health, and so on are one of the major competitors out there. And they store medical charts, vital signs, demographic information, lab tests, clinical notes. Those are all very, very important data points that any company that uses artificial intelligence in healthcare can use to help physicians make better decision support, provide better patient outcomes, reduce costs for hospitals, and to build a stronger bond between the patient and the provider.
So with that information, the engine is digging into the EHR, looking for data points, presumably to intercede and get in front of the problem, or to the extent that there's a already a problem, to help maybe change behaviors, change medications, any number of things. But one of the things that's important for business investors is who pays. So how do you look at the business model separate from the technical solution? How is Script Chain going to drive revenue and drive traffic ultimately?
Of course. So we have a B2B business model. We offer a pay-per-physician SaaS business model. So hospitals and clinics and even small practices will be purchasing our software based off of an annual fee. And the physicians will be our ultimate end users.
So as you think about that go-to-market element, and obviously Angel and Deeza, big network of doctors. We love businesses that are supporting doctors, but they're also extremely busy. They have a lot of people, you know, looking to have them pay for something. So how do you think of that sales cycle? What's your experience been so far? Maybe as you're doing your research or as you anticipate ahead, what's going to drive them to say, this makes sense for me to pay this annual fee? Is it around patient satisfaction surveys? Is about, you know, outcomes and where they're getting benefiting in some way? Talk a little bit about that.
Definitely. So, I mean, our three major goals are really to reduce physician burnout, first of all, right? Especially at a time like right now, where we all know healthcare workers are unfortunately very overworked and getting really tired. Number two is to, you know, better patient outcomes, you know, including safety. So patient safety is the ultimate, very important goal for us, as well as increase the bottom line for hospitals too. So because of, you know, COVID-19, a lot of these profits ended up diminishing, if not, a lot of these hospitals actually ended up losing money, being reliant on like federal assistance. So we're looking into kind of increasing those profit margins for them as well.
Talk a little bit about the AI element of this. As you mentioned, AI is powerful. It's got a lot of great applications. So you're in Boston finishing, you know, you're in business school and you're thinking chronic heart disease, a big issue, huge societal issue, big costs. How did you go from that to, you know, the technical solution? And I assume somewhere in there it was cobbling together a team on the technical side that had the background, but walk through the development of the actual technology.
Of course. So we ended up getting into development in 2020, right at the peak of the pandemic. I ended up, you know, scavenging a crew of artificial intelligence engineers, software developers. I had a business analyst and a product designer. So while I was doing my due diligence on building a product for physicians and for the healthcare industry, I looked into what are some pain points that a lot of physicians have with using technologies today, right? And I found out that, you know, the biggest factor was really, you know, usability. So making sure that everything is as less clicky and as less heavy as possible, and second, also making sure that this product fits within the physician workflow if you want to have physicians actually use it. So if you were to build a product where it disrupts or builds inefficiencies for the physician. They're less likely to use it. So those were my two design mantras for our designer to do their due diligence on, all right, we have this type of data, which we conducted a very large survey. It was around 200 cardiologists that responded all over the nation. And we got really good insights. So we used that as our design mantra. Then we got into sketching and also wireframing, but also always keeping our end user in our mind as we're designing. So then we ended up doing a lot of like usability testing to have physicians use our product in real time, you know, analyze how they like it, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, go back, reiterate, build another iteration for that specific card or for that specific button. And we're making sure that we integrate within the EHR system itself, so they don't have to leave, click on another browser, log in, and do those extra steps. We want to remove that entirely from our process, and that's what we've done.
I like the usability focus. A lot of companies miss over that. Let's talk a little bit about the state of the union. So now we're in the middle of 2022. Where are you in terms of the evolution of the business? And what's the balance of this year look like in terms of your key priorities?
Of course. So right now, we have completed two out of three models that we've been working on for our AI aspect, the front end and back end patient portal, as well as the provider portal has been done now. And our next steps are really a couple of things. So I'm raising capital for our seed round, which is very important to us. That should get us to the market. So we have to go through the FDA class two software as a medical device, as well as being able to pilot our application in production at a hospital. So we want to use it to improve and show efficacy, then go to market afterwards.
Are you at the stage yet where you're starting to have conversations with those potential pilot sites, or is it too premature?
No, we are in conversations right now, but the more the merrier.
Great. So as we look through the end of the year, I've got capital on the list. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. I'm looking for some pilot sites to work with you. And specifically in those sites, who would you be looking to interface with, and what are the characteristics of that site that you'd be looking for?
Yeah, for sure. So we're looking for hospitals that are open to innovative solutions for outpatient care as of right now and within the cardiovascular realm.
Okay. And in terms of capital, how much are you going to raise in the seed round? Tell us a little bit about the characteristics of the round.
Of course. So we are raising our seed round, just like I said before. That'll be allocated. The capital will be allocated over to R&D. Business and marketing, as well as regulatory affairs and legal expenditures. We are raising $1.5 million right now. We're hopefully looking to oversubscribed in our seed round. So anybody who's interested, feel free to reach out.
That's great. And we'll put information in the show notes for connecting up with you if you're either interested on the investment side or the pilot side or both. As you look through the balance of the year, you kind of indicated, you know, some of the high level milestones, but what are you particularly excited about, you know, maybe that as you go into the beginning of 2023, you can say we've wrapped this up, and then maybe corresponding to that, what are the key challenges for you to overcome and manage this fall?
Yeah, I mean, by the beginning of next year, we're hopefully able to secure FDA approval. That would be a challenge that we would love to overcome, as well as get our first couple customers. Really, I think that's any founder's dream is to nail those first two customers, two, three customers, and then be able to roll out and scale after that. In the fall, we're looking to start our pilot this year, hopefully. So we're looking into getting into that. But just like I said before, the more stakeholders that would like to have a discussion about that, the merrier.
You obviously, as you mentioned, are in the Bay Area now. Are there key conferences that are important for the work you're doing, whether that's in cardiovascular or in AI or both, that you might be visiting over the course of the next 6 months so that somebody may be listening to this who's going to be at that conference? They may have an interest in connecting with you. Does anything come to mind at the moment?
HIMSS might be one of them. That's on the roadmap. But I still need to look into any other digital health conferences, either located here in California or somewhere close in the West Coast.
Okay. By the way, speaking of the regulatory clearance with the FDA, what's your anticipation in terms of difficulty level? Do you have an advisor on the hook yet that can help walk you through that process? How are you navigating that?
So we have started to work with FDA consultants right now to kind of get and discussing the pre-submission application. Okay. So we can meet with an FDA officer. So they've been helping guide us a little bit right now, but you know, if we, that obviously doesn't come, at an inexpensive rate, it's actually quite expensive.
Yeah.
So if we have anyone to help kind of assist that pro bono, that'd be really helpful, especially okay. In the beginning.
Absolutely. If a physician's got an interest in leaning in, having a little bit more of a look at what you're doing, where you're headed, are you guys at a point where you can provide additional information for a cardiologist, for example, that may have an interest, or is it too early to have much to sort of show? I mean, what would that look like for a physician that wanted to get a little bit more in-depth experience?
Definitely not. We have all the tools that they need to get some more resources about what we're working on right now. The best way to reach out to me, and that includes, you know, demos. We can offer insights, high level at least, right now. So get in touch with us via Twitter, LinkedIn. You can even email me directly as well. I'll make sure that Tobin, you know, helps me by putting it out there, mo@scriptchain.co. My Twitter handle is @monori91. I'm very easy to find out there, believe me.
That's great. Mo, is there anything we haven't hit that maybe is important at the moment to share with anybody listening that you want to throw out there?
You know, our main mission has been and has all and will always be to create a positive impact in the world, starting with your heart. So if we have physicians that are interested in that love technology and the use of artificial intelligence being out in production today, feel free to reach out. We really want to make a positive impact in the world. We only live once, obviously, so might as well make the best of it.
I love it. Mo, thanks for coming on. I want to stay in touch and keep tabs on the progress over the balance of this year. So don't hesitate to send updates to Vital Signs or me directly, and we'll have you back on the show to do a follow-up. But thanks for spending a little time today and giving everybody a little glimpse of what you're doing. Great work, and it's a big, big space.
Thank you for having me again.
Appreciate it. Soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or...